Ethan, sir. I'm sorry.
Ow, my sorry, technological sorry. Dick.
All right, here we go. Nope. That wasn't the beginning of the show. Here it is.
Radio Free Weir with Ron Babcock and sometimes James.
It is. Today, we're doing a list, as we do every day. That is this day. And the list is self-deprecating songs.
Damn right we did
a list about a month or so ago that so far has been one of the biggest lists that we've done, and it was the best insults in a song. What are the best insults in a song? And it's just
really
crapping on each other. And so I thought maybe people are drawn to negativity, so let's try a different approach to that, and let's do the opposite. And today the list is self-deprecating songs. Song lyrics making fun of yourself or about how much you hate yourself or whatever. You know, it's going to be a depressing list, but
hey, all right, depressing times.
I think America wants this right now.
I'm excited.
I think America wants to stare in the mirror and punch it as hard as it can and then bathe in the blood created by the shatter.
What the? Have you been watching Pink Floyd, The Wall?
I've been drinking again.
I've been drinking well again.
I was cleared to drink by my doctor, and I've taken full advantage of that. It's been wonderful. You know, I didn't realize that drinking actually mattered that much to me. I hate admitting, but it really works. Like, it's effective.
Yeah.
It's effective. Can you imagine just living my life for a month sober? Like, getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and having to listen to Luke Bryan for 3.5 hours and then...
No, dude. Sobriety terrifies me anyways.
Oh, my... Ugh. I can't get through that.
No.
And the worst thing is I work at a country station, so all the songs... You know what it's like? It's like that episode of The Simpsons where Homer tries to quit drinking, and then, like, beer is literally attacking him. Like,
yeah.
He goes out, Duff beer just starts parachuting from the sky. The train is going chug-a-lug, 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 chug-a-lug. It's like that, only I have to work at a country station where every goddamn song is about how beer and whiskey solve all your problems.
Good.
Like, every single one of them.
Yeah.
There's not one country song that's like, that's why I stopped drinking. You know, it's not one positive country song about, you know, giving up drinking and then my life got better. It's always my life got bad, I drank, and now it's great.
At least I don't give a shit.
Yeah. At least I numbed the part of me that actually matters. The soul area there. So anyway, self-deprecating songs. Before we get to that, though, how are you guys doing? How are you doing?
Oh, not bad.
Yeah. Hanging in.
Just got back from...
Hot as balls.
It's actually hot here. It's in the 90s right now, which is weird for us, but it's still like immensely nicer than it is in the Midwest. I'll just rub that one in real quick, because it was 91 degrees yesterday. My co-host Ayla had us over, me and the boys over, my boys, I mean my sons, over for a pool party. And it was fun. We were out in the sun and everything. And she was like, oh, my God, it's so hot. And I was like, is it though? Like, is it hot?
Do you know what humidity is?
That reminds me of...
You live on the East Coast. So you have no idea.
Of when you got married in Florida in October and the lady apologized for how cold it was.
Yeah, we're like, it's like 80 degrees. I think it's okay.
We'll make it.
No,
somehow.
Actually, it was like, I think it was like 60 something, but yeah. No, when I lived in Florida, they were always like going on like, oh yeah, you're not going to be able to handle the heat here in the summer. And I was like, we have heat in the Midwest. Like, I don't, like, yeah, but you have no idea how bad the humidity is. The humidity was never as bad, ever, as bad as it was in St. Louis or honestly in Kansas City. And every single second that I was in Florida, that I was outside in the summer, all I could think is, you guys are all liars. Like, every single person I would pass, I'd be like, you're a fucking liar. Ma'am, stop.
You are stop a liar.
Lying. You're a liar. This isn't that hot. You know why? It's the same thing here. It's the humidity, yes, but also there's a lot of trees. There's so many trees everywhere, and they're big, and they're tall, and they overhang, and so they cover up. They create this thing. It's like, what is it? Not light?
Sade.
The opposite of that?
Sade.
Sade, yep, yeah, Marquita Sade, yeah. which is ironic because it's actually very pleasant. It's not sadistic at all. Yeah, my problem actually with Kansas City, more so than St. Louis, was there's no fucking shade in Kansas City. It's almost like living in the desert, especially where I was at, because the area of Overland Park I lived at was relatively new. I think it was like 30 years old or so. And so all the trees were still pretty low to the ground, and there was no shade anywhere. It just burst into flames.
Well, that's because all the housing developments were recently cow pastures.
Yeah.
And yeah, right. there's no trees. It's just, yeah. And if there were trees, we knocked them down so we could put roads in.
Right.
And then we put new trees in, which are now 2 foot tall.
And they wouldn't do that out here because they're like, wait, hold that tree. John Adams wiped his asshole on that tree. Like, we're not 100% sure. We're still doing tests on the bark, but we're pretty sure John Adams stopped and he said his ass was really scratchy. He scratched his ass on that tree. Okay. So.
Yeah,
yes.
It's a historical site now.
Yeah, we just lost James
again.
Yellow.
Yeah, I wonder what's going on. His internet. His internet doesn't seem to be enjoying.
Join. Am I lost again?
Hmm. So anyway,
I had to go to Branson.
Oh God,
it was awful, dude.
Another Simpsons quote: "If Branson is like if Ned Flanders ran Vegas."
Yeah. Because the place we stayed at. The wife got this place because I was like, I don't want to go to Branson. I used to have to go there every summer as a kid, and it sucks. The whole place sucks. It's awful. It just sucks. And
what is even there? Like, it's just a bunch of shows for
Nothing. Right? No, nothing. Yeah. There's nothing. It's this one. You know, it's spread out now, but basically, it's this one strip, and there's tons of like funnel cakes. Wind chimes and fucking go-kart rides, and that's it. And then there's go-karts or country shows rather, and that's it. And they the shows are all the same show. They all do the Orange Blossom special. They all have one goofy idiot who's the comic relief who says the same stupid jokes he said 20 years ago. Yeah. It's awful. It's awful. Okay, here, this will give you an idea. Yakov Smirnoff lives there.
Oh, I know. He's been doing great there since like the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's killing it.
And they
killing
love him.
The boomers love him. Love Yakov.
That is enough for me to go, yeah, I don't need to be here.
You know what makes it's like when I've never been to Branson, but I went to Disney World last year, or earlier this year, I guess. God, it seems like it was last year.
Yeah.
Anyway, we did go there. And oh, there's James.
Am I back?
Yeah, well, yes, now. Yeah, yes. You're back.
So here's the thing. I bought a desktop the other week, and I thought, oh, that'll be nice, and I'll just set that up, and it'll be great, because it'll just be in my little area where I record, and I can do random shit on it. But apparently the internet is garbage on it, so I am on my laptop, and it seems to be working much better.
Mm. Okay, well, that's good. I mean, just looking at the output, it's a lot lower, because it shows like how much lag there is and you're whatever if people don't care about this, but point is
it's better,
so that's good. So James is back. Anyway, back to Rod went to Branson, and Branson to me seems like I went to Disney World and there was the Country Bear Jamboree show.
That's
what Branson, the whole entirety of Branson, it just seems like it's just one version of that dumb inbred bear show from Disney World. And I remember when I went there and saw that bear show, it struck me how there's only kind of like two kinds of bears in the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's the country bear. I fuck my cousin.
And the city bears.
And the rip your face off and piss on you as you're dying bear.
Yeah, that's the city bear. That's the city bear.
The ghetto bear. Yeah. The kicking the door to your house. Walk in like he owns the place. Take the deed. Write his name over your name. And while disemboweling you, bear. That guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's only two kinds of bears. Like happy, goofy bear and give your children nightmares for the rest of it. There's just the revenant bear.
And the country time jamboree.
Which, remember before the Revenant came out, they were like, oh, this bear rapes Leonardo DiCaprio. Like, if you want to see, when people are like, wait, what? The bear rapes him? Like, yeah, no, he gets on top of him and just goes to town on Leo. And then we all saw it, and we're like, wait, that bear didn't rape him. you guys lied to me. And secretly, we were a little disappointed. Remember that?
I don't know. After I watched the movie, I was pretty sure that bear raped him.
The point is, the bear definitely had a boner the whole time. So you either have...
DiCaprio was the not having bear. A good time, I can tell you that.
Or Yogi. That's your two options at bears. Like, there's no mm-hmm. in-between. There's no, like, yeah. I mean, maybe the Goldilocks bears are close.
Mm,
no.
No. No.
They were gonna cut that bitch.
Fuck with my porridge, do you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah? Oh, my porridge was just right?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? You're going to be just right because I'm going to rip your fucking left arm off.
And now he's just right. Because he doesn't have a left arm.
Oh, that's funny. Anyway.
Nailed it.
It's time to get going on the list. The list this week is self-deprecating songs.
Yeah, yep. List. Yes, yes. Yep.
Self-deprecating songs, as I explained, because... you know, we did the insult songs. You guys seem to like that. And it's where the world's at. We win some negativity. So I'm going to start off with my first one. The first one I thought of when we were talking about this yesterday.
This was a seat of the pants affair.
Hello, my name is Jimmy Poppin. I'm a dumb white guy. I'm not old or new, but middle school, fifth grade, like junior high. I don't know, mofo, if y'all peeps be fucking giving props to my hoe, cause she fly, but I can take the heat, cause I'm the other white me, known as Kid Funky Fry. Yeah, I'm hung like planet Pluto, hard to see with a naked eye, but if I crashed into Uranus, I would stick it where the sun don't shine, cause I'm kind of like Han Solo, always stroking my own Wookiee. I'm the root of all that's evil, yeah, but you can call me Cookie. The roof is on fire,
or fire, water, burn, fire, by the Bloodhound Gang.
Water, burn.
It's on there, because the entire song is self-deprecating. Like, there's not one line in there that isn't negative about himself. And in fact, that was kind of the theme of a lot of Bloodhound Gang songs, at least off of that album, because there was also the song, I Wish I Was Gay So I Could Get Chicks.
I just wish I was queer so I could get chicks.
I wish I was queer. Thank you. I'm sorry. I PC'd it up.
Or you un-PC'd it? Because it varies.
I wish I was queer.
Yeah, no, sometimes.
Yeah, I guess queer isn't bad. Though it always throws me, it always feels like they're leading me into a trap. Because I have a friend who's the producer on my show, Jim, is gay. And he has told me, like, no, queer, it's fine to say queer. And I was like, I don't trust you. Like, that would be like.
Well, I think Michael Stipe said that was his preferred.
Yeah, his preferred, whatever, not pejorative, but descriptor, yeah. I guess. No, I don't, I'm not falling into that trap. I'm sorry. It's kind of trap. Like if I had an Hispanic friend, who's like, it's okay to call us Puerto Rican. I'd be like, nah, I don't know.
Was he actually from Puerto Rico, though? That might have been
where they're from.
It might have been the caveat.
Yeah. I still feel weird saying it.
That's funny.
All I'm saying.
I had a conversation with my mother.
So are you Chinese or are you Japanese?
My mother's lived in Texas forever and ever, and one time I said something about this Mexican man, and she's like, that's rude, you can't say that. And I said, no, the man's from Mexico. He's right. Mexican. You've lived in Texas so long that you think Mexican is a derogatory term, and it's not.
That's true.
She's like, oh, yeah, I guess you're right.
Hey, don't say something so horrible. Wow, why would you say something like
I'm
that?
Like, no, that's where he's from.
Literally describing.
He's Mexican. Yeah, that's not a derogatory term in other parts of the country.
Yeah, but it's all about the stank that you put on the word, because if you say, hey, look at that guy, my friend, he's Jose, he's a Mexican, that's fine. But if you go, hey, look at that guy, he's a Mexican, you know what I mean?
it's
all about, yeah, it's like, hey, bonjour, my friend from France, and then it's bonjour, you Frenchman.
Stupid, you know, Frenchy,
like,
bastard.
Immediately with the second one, you're like, that guy must stink. Like, that guy doesn't shower.
Smokes.
He gives up easily.
Smokes cigarettes out of his baguette.
he's got a beret.
And no deodorant.
None, not at all. None. All right. So anyway, Fire, Water, Burn for all of those self-deprecating lyrics goes on the list at number uno. Who wants to go second?
We'll go Rod because he had to come in late last week.
Yeah, I'll take number two. I figured the
Rod's taking a number two.
The best. Taking a number two right here. I figured the best self-deprecating lyric person is probably Rivers Cuomo.
Oh, that's good.
And do you know who Mark Ronson is?
Yeah, he's the guy that produced...
Mark Ronson did...
Uptown Funk.
Uptown Funk, yeah. Well, he did this song with Rivers. Do you get the general idea of the song?
Yeah, he sucks.
Is that called I Suck?
Yes, it's called I Suck.
Is that Weezer?
And it is. It's actually Mark Ronson featuring Rivers Cuomo.
Well,
yeah, actually Mark Ronson wrote it.
It's an apt description
of Rivers.
Of that song.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, it's fine. Mark Ronson's weird because, like, who the hell? He's like Fatboy Slim in a way, in that he doesn't. It's never him.
No, it's always him featuring.
He just seems really insecure.
Yeah.
He's a producer. Like, he has talent, but not talent.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, he has skill, but not like, and that's. I had that argument with somebody at one point, and they're like, "Oh, well, I'm a DJ." I was like, "Okay, well, that's a skill." And they're like, "No, I'm a musician." I'm like, "No, you're not a musician. It's a skill, but you're not playing a musical instrument. You're manipulating sound."
I mean, not to get too deep into a top here, but I think that there is also. It's the same thing could be said about a lot of musicians who don't write their own songs. You could just say that's a skill. Like, if you're a violinist and you've never written a note, but you just play what other people have written, that to me is skill. That's not, I mean, maybe it's talent too, but I think that it requires more skill. I think talent requires creativity. Mm. You can just be a robot.
Okay.
True.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess.
Yeah. That's the delineation between, like, what's a sport and what isn't.
What is a sport?
Yeah, like I think golf is a skill. I don't think it's a sport per se.
Oh, I'm fine with that. Yeah, I'm fine with that. I don't care. Yeah, good.
I think auto racing is a skill. It's not a sport.
You guys won't be surprised to hear this, but I actually got a threatening message on Facebook from a listener this week to my morning show because I can't remember why this guy was calling in, but he was calling in. I guess we were doing ER or not. And the guy called in, and yeah, it was that. He was a goalie, and he injured himself diving to catch a ball and hit the goalpost with his shoulder and, like, separated his shoulder or whatever. And I was like, well, I'm glad you're a goalie who called in, because honestly, any other soccer player calls in, I wouldn't respect you enough to put you on the air.
Because you took a dive. You're like, my shin. Oh.
Yeah, because you're using your hands. And I was like, the good news is, if you even if you lost both of your arms playing soccer, you can still play. You just run out there. You don't have to use your arms for anything. It's great. You just run out there and you're just like everybody else. So you can be the worst goalie in the world, but still be the best soccer player. And he didn't threaten me. He thought it was very funny. But then I got a message from a soccer player on Facebook who said that he could kick my ass anytime, any day. And I was like, yes, you could kick my ass.
Yeah, that's
nice. And I couldn't run away from you because you have excellent cardio because you're a fucking soccer player. Jesus Christ. Those guys can run for days.
Yeah, I was like, but I maybe if we just did a, you know, punching competition, I might have a shot. I'm just saying, you could kick my ass, I'm sure.
And honestly, like,
because that's all you can, like, do as a soccer player.
If you're a double arm amputee, that might be an absolute boon as a soccer player, because you can't get a handball.
Yeah.
No.
True.
No.
Yeah. Like,
and a lot, yeah. Most handballs are accidental. Like, you're just reacting. I mean,
The joke I wanted to use that I couldn't have used on air was, well, it wouldn't be the first time a soccer player's dove for some balls. I didn't, because I have a producer who's gay, and he would look at me like, how dare you lump me in with soccer players? Anyway, James, what's your pick for pick number three?
My pick is from an album which I go back and forth. I love The Who.
Yeah.
Who's Next is their best album. Bar none. There's very few people that would argue that. Just from a song-to-song production, songwriting, musicianship, what have you. I think the one that I go to most often as my second favorite is actually The Who by Numbers, which is after Quadrophenia, I believe.
Yep.
And it's, I guess Pete was in a dark period because a lot of the songs are pretty self-deprecating. But this one is called How Many Friends?
Kidoki, hold on a second. Seems that, but no one else ever stares. It's being so kind. What's the reason? How many friends have I really?
That won't me, that'll take me as I am.
You know, Pete was obviously really egotistical, and he was just saying, like, none of you appreciate me. Who I am.
Fools! He flipped back and forth because he would alternately be the most egotistical motherfucker in the world and the most insecure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mentioned a story to John before Rod joined us and we started recording. There's a story of, so Pete Townsend would do these very intricate demos because he was, you know, the primary lyricist and songwriter. And like, I read something and it was, not Mick Jagger, but Keith Richards. And he was like, a lot of times those Townsend demos were better than the Who songs, which is bullshit because...
Which is bullshit. That's true. Pete's an adequate musician in all respects, but he's not Keith Moon or John Entwistle.
He's a phenomenal guitar player. And an amazing lyricist. But he can't sing like Roger Daltrey. He can't play bass like John Entwistle, and he can't drum like Keith Moon. So there are certain songs that work for Pete as a lyricist, and those are usually the ones he sings. And I think that's probably, honestly, more Roger Daltrey saying, "No, that's in your pocket. That's more you than me." Mm-hmm.
Or it's Roger Daltrey be like, you know, I don't want people to think that I'm saying this shit. Okay, so
that could be too.
You can sing about a teenage wasteland. You sicken me.
But the story on this one, you know, it's how many friends have I really got? I can count them on one hand. And the story is that he played this demo for The Who, and Keith Moon just immediately walked up to him and just hugged him.
Aww.
Like, he's like, buddy. No,
I'm your friend Pete,
and Pete was probably like, you know, I didn't really mean you, Keith. I mean, it's great. I mean, we're great bandmates, but I
friend.
I don't know about that. I don't know. That'd be great if what would be the opposite of friend zoning somebody? Because like, it, I think everybody's had the experience of like some hot girl be like, I can't meet a decent guy. Like, she's like, hey, hi.
You co-worker zone somebody.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. They're like, no. But like yeah, Pete's like, I don't have any friends. And then Keith's like, yeah, I'll be your friend. Yeah,
we're co-workers. Yeah, let's leave it
we're
at that.
Good. We're
let's
good.
Let's put a hard wall. Let's put a hard wall.
I'm going to put you in the acquaintance zone. I'm going to put you in the acquaintance zone.
Yeah. All right, so that's number three on the list. So we have Fire, Water, Burn, I Suck, and How Many Friends. So here's pick number four from me. And this was the second song I thought of for this list of self-deprecating songs.
Okay.
It's going to be a little bit tough to beat, but here we go.
At what he does best.
More of I wanted to focus on, I love that line, I'm worse at what I do best, but I wanted to focus on this line coming up. I feel stupid and contagious. Good. Here we go. I'm a lotto. All right, a mulatto, an albino, a mosquito, my libido. He's comparing opposites, and he's saying, I don't know if he's saying I have a little dick. I think he's saying that he has just no sexual energy, which is kind of a put-down. This song came out, so when I was at this pool party yesterday, and Ayla, to be nice to me, which was actually very sweet, she put on alternative rock from the 90s, even though I know she hates it. But she put it on so I wouldn't sit there and go like, what the hell are we? I cannot listen to another Mariah Carey.
How do you hate alternative rock from the 90s? She's a bad person. I don't want to say she's a bad.
It's not that she, okay, to be fair, she doesn't hate it. She's just not familiar with it. And it's, to be fair to her, she's 7 years younger than you and I, James. And she's also not lived a life that would lend itself to the kind of angst that you'd have that maybe is necessary to really appreciate alternative rock. Anyway, but that was the last song that came up like right after I texted right. James, and then the song just came up on this playlist. And then her phone, the battery on her phone died as soon as the song ended. I was like, that's it. It's got to go on the list for so many reasons.
The fates deemed it so.
Well, the thing about, and I talked to a psychiatrist even about this, about my self-deprecating nature, and the psychiatrist told me that it wasn't healthy, and I was like, hey, you're not healthy. but what I loved about Nirvana more than anything was the self-deprecating part, because we came out of the 80s with the glam rock, and it's all, I'm going to bang these chicks, or I'm going to beat that guy
amazing.
Up. And it was all
I'm
like,
so fucking
yeah, I'm the greatest
radical.
Because I've done coke. But Kurt didn't do coke. He did heroin. So his songs were all about how much he hated himself.
Yeah. See how much see how much better cocaine is?
Yeah. And it made me feel like powerful. It made me feel like you can make fun of yourself. I didn't know you could do that. I didn't know that was a possibility. And then later when I started watching Conan O'Brien, I was like, oh my God, this is my sense of humor from now on. Like, I get this. He's making fun of himself instead of other people. Because I never felt comfortable making fun of other people that much. But making fun of yourself is fun.
Oh, no, it's true. In the 80s, everything was, you know, I'm the greatest. I'm the badass.
Yeah.
And it's like rap, you know. You'll never beat me. I'm better than you, you know. And so,
yeah.
When you had, my next pick is Soundgarden, and these guys were not pleased with themselves a lot.
Do you mean
Chris Cornell?
What did he have to be happy about?
Yeah, Chris Cornell's this badass singer, you know, all the girls love him. And then you listen to his lyrics, you're like, wow, he's not happy.
Right. Just because he's this gorgeous, amazingly talented successful musician doesn't mean that he should be happy.
Might
yeah,
as well hang
himself. I'm trying to say that without sarcasm, but it's kind of true. Yeah.
Might as well hang himself.
Oh, hey, hey, hey.
Because he awful. Did.
This is my next
pick. I know.
This was the first one I thought of when you guys were talking about deprecating lyrics. It's called Drawing Flies. Fucking love that. Sitting here like uninvited company, wallowing in my own obscenity. I share a cigarette with negativity, leaning on the pedestal that holds my self-denial, firing the pistol that shoots my holy pride, sitting here like wet ashes with X's in my eyes and drawing flies. God, I mean, love that.
I don't know about you guys, but I could see that like painted on a mural at like an elementary school, like next to reach for the stars, because if you fall short, you'll land on the moon or whatever. Or I think they always get that wrong. I think it's like reach for the moon, and if you fall short, you'll land on a star. And it's like, you don't know how, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see all that. Like, hey, kids. But in a positive way, I'm saying, like, even this guy hated himself, so it's okay.
Yeah, he's so, sitting here yeah. like wet ashes with X's in his eyes and drawing flies. Right.
Oh, this list is going to be depressing, isn't it? Okay, James.
I'm sorry, man. That's one of those songs. The first time I heard it, I was like, play that again. That's fucking brutal. It just, I don't know why, it just grabbed me. And yeah, it was one of like my first the album. Outshined. What is the name of that album? Bad Motor Finger. When that album came out and I sat down and listened to the whole thing, that's the song I listened to like three times, was that song. I just, wow. I don't know why. I was just like, damn. He's so angry.
I think people kind of move past that and they focus too much on his voice. Though it was actually also funny yesterday because Soundgarden kept coming up, and Ayla thought it was Chris Stapleton, which I was like, that's really cool. Like,
no,
that's
really cool.
She's like, God, this guy sounds just like Chris Stapleton. I was like, yeah, Chris Stapleton fucking loved Soundgarden and Chris
Cornell. Yeah.
Well, and this was kind of a seat of the pants list because, like, I was sitting there yesterday. I'm like, geez, what's our next list going to be? Did we have a plan? And so.
We did not.
Could have gone with, like, Nothing Seems to Kill Me, No Matter How Hard I Try.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Blow Up the Outside World. Like, that's not an uplifting song.
No. Most of their songs, Pretty News. I mean, come on.
No. I don't like what you got me hanging from.
Yeah.
No. The one, Burden in My Hand, he sat and watched every minute of all the OJ shit. And then wrote that song. And if you listen to it, it talks about, you know, I killed my love today. You know, shot my love today. I buried her in the desert. Yeah, it's you're like, oh, my God. But yeah, he said he could not turn away from any of the OJ shit. And then it was over. He's like, I got to write this song.
All right. James, this is your next
pick. It's police song. And it is one of the it's not on the greatest hits record because it's not written by Gordon. It's written by Stewart.
Stewart.
It's a song that's entertaining on a number of levels. I especially like that it begins and he goes, like, if you play that song, he goes, well, the other one's a complete bullshit.
Come off my fingers in the door of my car.
How can I do it?
My wife is proud to tell me of her love affairs.
How could she do this to me?
My wife has burnt a scrambled egg. The dog just bit my leg. My teenage daughter ran away.
No, it did not. Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, is that... I hate to say this, and like it sounds like I'm siding with homophobia, because obviously you should be fine with your kid being gay no matter what. Who cares? Like, it's not. But I think back when it was being written, it's, you could at least be like, well, it's going to be a struggle for him. You know, it's going to be tough.
And to this day, I like, it's like, you know,
it's not the easiest path. But I don't know. I mean, I look at my two boys, and one of them turns out gay. I'll be like, I knew which one it would be. I'm not going to tell them right now if they ever listen back to this, but if you do listen back to this and one of you is gay, I knew that would happen.
And I love you all the same.
Bye.
I love you. In fact, I love you a little more, honestly. Good for you and your courage.
Yeah.
Ain't easy.
In my life, in my upbringing and the things I've seen, someone said to me once, "You ever worry about your son being gay?" And I just laughed. I said, "There are a whole lot worse things that my child could turn out to be than gay. Trust
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
Like in prison, like fucking, you know, strung out on dope, or, you know, being a right. thief and a piece of shit. Trust me, my whole family is in the background of this photo that I'm speaking of."
Some of them have numbers on their shirts.
Many, many do. Yes.
Yeah. So
gay? Nah, I don't have a problem with that at all.
Like, I think, honestly, I mean, according to Fox News, it's a positive. You get everything if you're gay. If only he was black.
If only he were black.
If only he were black, then he'd have it made. Made.
What was the name of that Police song?
On Any Other
Day. On Another Day.
On Any Other Day.
That was the name of the song. Any Other Day. All right, so that's number six. I'm going to do number seven, and then we're going to take a quick little break.
Quick little.
All right.
I debated which version of the song to use. I'm more partial to the original version myself, even though I know that is a sticking point with many people. I do think the cover is great, but this is the version that I grew up loving, so this is the one I'm playing.
I wear this crown. Full of broken thoughts, I cannot repair.
Beneath. Hey, it's Hurt by Nine Inch Nails. I'm honestly, I don't want to keep playing it because it's just too depressing.
It is very depressing.
And it was that line also that kind of upset me in the Johnny Cash version that he changed. I wear this crown of thorns upon my liar tree. I like the crown of shit. Like, yeah. I mean, Jesus' story was sad, but if the Romans had put shit on his head instead of thorns, it would be like, God,
I always
leave the guy alone.
I always love the story that when they brought Johnny Cash that song, he was like, yeah, it's great. It's an anti-drug song, whatever. And he started recording it, and I guess supposedly he got about halfway through it and went, wait, I get it now. Start again.
Oh. Wow. Good for Johnny Cash.
Yeah. It's like halfway through the song, he's like, stop. I get this now. We need to start over.
Well, you need to stop that one right now. I can do a better take. Believe you me.
Johnny Cash kind of sounded again, like Mr. Ed.
Oh my God.
Tell me I'm wrong.
I can't.
I need to find some Johnny Cash lyric where he says the word Wilbur. Just so.
Oh, I don't know about that. Wilbur? Wilbur.
Can you guys, like, people talk about how much, older people mostly, talk about how much TV sucks now. We had classic TV. You had a show where a horse had peanut butter stuck to the roof of his mouth and talked horribly. Like, if you watch it, the sinking doesn't add up at all. It's crazy.
That's your complaint? I have the same argument, though, because you had Mr. Ed and you had, like, My Mom's a Car or whatever.
Yeah, My Mother the Car.
Yeah, okay. And then in the 80s, we had BJ and the fucking Bear. You are going to... A grown-ass college-educated man sat in an office and went, okay, here's my idea. It's a truck driver, okay? and his monkey, and they travel around the country righting wrongs.
He's got an orangutan. Don't worry about why he's got an orangutan.
Yeah.
Was it an orangutan or a chimpanzee?
No, it was a chimpanzee in the TV show.
The orangutan
was any which way but loose. Same thing. And the dude went, and the guy behind the desk went, "You had me at monkey." like he's like, "Let's green light this right away." Really?
Okay, this is going to sound like a philosophical question, but which came first, Any Which Way But Loose or BJ and the Bear?
I think Any Which Way But Loose.
So then BJ and the Bear, okay, so that was 1978.
Mm-hmm.
BJ and the...
You're going to get some weird porn.
BJ and the Bear.
You're going to get some weird porn results.
BJ and the Bear was a year after...
BJ and the Bears.
It's not that weird. Actually, some of these sites have already been through. Anyway, is a year after.
So a year later.
But Loose. So somebody went to Any Which Way But Loose, saw the movie.
Holy shit.
And went, "Hey, how do we do this on TV? Well, we can't just directly rip it off. So wait, he doesn't have a monkey. What does he have, like a crime smelling possum?" Like, no.
No, it's still a monkey, but it's a smaller monkey.
It's a chimp instead of, it's an ape. It's not even a monkey. It's an ape.
It's a great ape.
Mm-hmm. Instead of an orangutan, it's a chimpanzee. So,
and he's a truck driver. Because, people love CBs and shit.
Right. Of course.
And then if you watch that show as a kid, it gave you a very unrealistic idea of what female truck drivers look like.
Yeah.
They don't look like that.
Mm-mm. Hold on, real quick.
Man, why can't they bring back or remake good shows like BJ and the Bear? Now, there's a concept I can't get enough of, a man and his monkey.
Most of the shows in the 80s were fucked up people traveling the country righting wrongs. You had Knight Rider, you had A-Team. Like, all the shows were about that. It's like, really? That's... Like, I don't understand.
Hey, man, you grew up in the 80s. There were a lot of problems, okay? Granted, it seemed like all the problems they were solving weren't the problems that we were having in the 80s. Like,
exactly.
The crack.
Crack epidemic.
BJ and the Bear never tackled the crack epidemic. In fact, they might have been a result of the crack epidemic. But
Knight Rider never busted up those Colombian drug lords. No.
All right, we'll be back.
No. Hey guys, it's Jonathan, and I'm here to tell you about my good buddy Cody Akins at AkinsPCRepair.com. Your computer is maybe sometimes the most frustrating thing in your life. I know it can be frustrating for me. Mine sometimes has a mind of its own. Sometimes it crashes in the middle of the show. Sometimes it will just be running slow for no good reason. And it's those times that I wish that I still lived in Kansas City and I could take my computer to Cody Akins at AkinsPCRepair.com because he'd have it fixed in absolutely no time flat. So if your computer's frustrating you, if your computer is running slower than it should be, or maybe it's just, you can tell it's on its last legs. It's about to give up the ghost, as pirates, I believe, used to say. Don't fact check me on that. Pretty sure it's a real thing. If your computer sucks, take it to Cody Akins. Either he can make it not suck, or he can sell you a used computer that's almost as good as brand new because he certifies it. So it's like getting a new computer without having to pay the price for a brand new computer. Make my computer guy your computer guy. Go to AkinsPCRepair.com. That's AkinsPCRepair.com. All right, we're back, and it's time for pick number 8 on our list of best self-deprecating songs. So far, we have Firewater Burn, I Suck by Rivers Cuomo and Mark Ronson, How Many Friends by The Who, Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana, Drawing Flies by Soundgarden, On Any Other Day by The Police, and Hurt by Nine Inch Nail. It's time for Rod's pick, which is number 8.
Which is this one.
Ah, good one.
The Offspring.
So I'll relate this little bit. Half is more than I'd like to admit. Late at night, she knocks on my door. Drunk again, looking to score. Why, I know I should say no, but it's kinda hard.
I may be dumb, but I'm not a dweeb.
I'm not a dweeb.
Just a sucker with low self-esteem. The Offspring's one of those bands that I want to not like, but I really like them.
Yeah, they, like,
they go overboard with the woes and the yes and the stuff.
Yeah,
but
it's very much like formulaic kind of. And in fact, I remember the first time I heard that song, not liking it because of the
yeah.
It sounds exactly like Lithium.
Exactly.
Nirvana. Yeah. But it's the same thing. And I was just like, what the fuck are they trying to do?
But they were better when they were like, trying to be Nirvana than when they were trying to be Blink 182.
Yes.
Because in Jesus Christ, did they try to be Blink 182 after that?
Yeah, they did. They did.
I would much rather have Self Esteem by The Offspring than a Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. Pretty annoying. But, they did have some really good songs, though. I like Self Esteem. Come Out and Play.
No, that whole first record's good.
And even later, they had The Kids Are All Right. Mm-hmm. The Kids Aren't All Right. That was a good song.
You know, that is a good tune.
Yeah. All right. Self Esteem by The Offspring, which is a little on the nose. Like if we did a list of songs about self-deprecation, it's right there.
It is pretty much. Yeah. It's called Self Esteem. Yeah.
Self Esteem. All right. James, you have the next one.
I have the next one.
Number
indeed.
Nine.
Number nine. This is one. And I'm sure if I'd had more time to dig through my encyclopedic history of Lou Barlow songs, I probably could have found a ton. But this is one from the second to last Sebado record, and this is about, and I've heard the backstory on this, and it's him being a dad in LA,
mm-hmm.
and just seeing all these fucking like picture perfect dads, and he's like, I'm this fucking slacker alt rocker guy, like he's probably living fairly comfortably most of the time, I would assume.
Yeah,
but like the first line of the song is, they have the calves of champions. He's just seeing these LA dads in shorts with just bitching calves. And it's
it's something I actually miss about being around Rod a lot is
mm-hmm.
I always feel like when I go out, I'm like the fattest, laziest, most out of shape dad. And at least when I was with Rod, I was kind of like, yeah, us together. It's me and Rod against the world. It's fat dads unite. And like here, all the it's disgusting.
So wait a minute.
What?
Yeah, I'm
giving you a compliment. Yeah. I'm saying
it was solidarity, Jesus.
It was solidarity. I wasn't saying I'm better than you. I'm saying we're the same.
Oh, it's the hardest thing I've done, and I haven't even done it yet. Thought I was wiser, looking in my eyes, when in the night went.
It's not right. Failure is a state of mind. It's failure is a state of mine.
A state of mine.
Right. Ah. Like, failure is a thing that I do.
Yeah. I've not, like, I basically just touching on what I was saying before. That's what people, I think, reasonably are terrified to have children. And the reason why they're terrified to have children is you see all these other parents and you're like, oh, they're so much better than me.
They've got
it
figured
out. If you don't have kids and you're like, I'll never be that good of a... Yeah, if you don't have kids, you look at people like, I'll never be that good of a father. And then when you have kids, you're like, I'm not that good of a father. So it's like, at least there's the potentiality is... But also, if you don't have... I was thinking about this earlier. Like, if I didn't have kids... I'm just screwing up my own life,
right.
You know, like, whatever. I drag these other two guys into it now. Like, if one of them turns out, like, because you could be the best dad in the world. You could be great. You could be Mr. Rogers. And if your kid grows up and, like, you know,
gets a DUI and like runs over a cop or something like that. All of a sudden, oh, you know, he's not a good guy. His kid's a murderer. You know, it's not fair. All I'm saying is prepare for some headlines in 10 years because one of these kids, I said one of them is gay. One of them is also a murderer. It's probably the same kid.
I assumed it was the opposite, but you're saying no.
No.
One of them's going to be fine. The other one's going to be a gay murderer.
One of them's going to be great. Hey, wait, hold on. Just to clarify, when you say gay murderer, he's not going to murder gay people. He's going to be a murderer who happens to be. Don't put that homophobia on my potential murderous offspring. Good stuff. All right, that was number nine. So the next one is number
10.
Mine.
And 10.
Yes.
I'm going to go with this little nugget right here.
Yo.
Crazy with the Cheese Whiz.
I'm a loser, baby, so why don't you kill me?
Again, just Beck saying the quiet part out loud, I think, because so many of those other songs by Soundgarden and Nirvana and Pearl Jam were just kind of like, hey, you know, I hate myself, but here's the thing I'm going to do with it. Like, I'm gonna put it into a pastiche of words. And then Beck is like, how about I just say I'm a loser?
Yeah. So I just come out and just say I'm a loser. Kill me.
Just fucking kill me already. Because I don't have the courage to do it myself. Sometimes I salt the rim of my revolver.
Oh my God.
So I can pretend it's a margarita I'm putting to my lips.
What the fuck went wrong with you, man?
That's actually a quote from Squidbillies.
Gun oil and salt.
Okay. All right. That was number 10 was Loser.
Mm-hmm.
Back. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I brought this up last time, but it still amazes me that I remember this in 1999, MTV had a countdown of the biggest moments of the 90s. And you would think, like, number one would be Smells Like Teen Spirit being released, or Kurt Cobain killing himself, or anything. Nope. That was number two, was Kurt Cobain's death. Number one was Beck releasing Loser.
Really?
I don't, and I, to this day, have no idea why. And don't get me wrong, I like the song. I don't get why they would go, oh, yeah, no, that's obviously the number one moment. Unless he had a new album out right then that they were pimping. I don't know. I don't know.
I do.
Fucking weird, though.
I had a friend of mine named Kevin a long time ago. And when that album was huge and we were sitting around talking one time about music and, you know, what was going to last and what wasn't going to last. And he was like, I have a feeling Beck's going to be around a long time. And I thought, really? Based on Beer Can and Loser. You think Beck's going to be around a long time. And now here it is all these years later. I'm like, fuck, he was right, man. like I was like Soundgarden and stuff. All those are gone and dead. And
I kind of wonder if, think about it. The bands that, the music that lasted the longest is usually solo artists who maybe work with other people, but it's pretty much, I mean, Beck's just Beck.
Right.
Nine Inch Nails has lasted forever.
That's pretty much just Trent Reznor.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of other examples of that. But
Steely Dan went on for a really long time with Walter Becker and Donald Fagen.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out, like, why is it in R&B and pop, almost all the artists are solo artists, and in rock, it's bands?
I don't know. I've always wondered about that. Because in the 90s, you had a thing with rap becoming bands. You had Jurassic 5, Wu-Tang.
Tribe Called Quest.
Right. But they didn't last.
Yeah, yeah.
And I never understood why.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just something I've always wondered, though. Like, why did bands in general, get, are a rock thing, and solo artists are more of a pop thing.
So yeah, even country music, there's only been a couple of bands. And like Alabama, that was a big deal about Alabama, is they were a whole band, not just a guy.
Right.
Not just like Willie Nelson.
It's still like that. And then like so the ones that are bands are actually, I'm like, oh, that's better than a lot of the solo guys.
Yeah. So following our fictitious bands thing, I rewatched Scott Pilgrim. All the Sex Bob Bomb songs are Beck songs. Beck wrote those.
Are they really?
Yeah. I did not Beck know that. Beck
wrote those songs?
Beck wrote all the Sex Bob Bomb songs.
That's awesome.
Wow.
And they were recorded by, if you're to believe movie credits, Michael Cera and the other actors. And Beck.
Oh, so it was actually them playing the instruments.
And Beck. I don't know.
And Beck. So Beck doing everything and then letting them not plug their instruments in.
And mime it adorably.
Yeah.
No, turn theirs down and then mine up and then we'll be fine.
Yeah.
No, you're doing great, Michael.
Yeah, no, those like all those Sex Bob-omb songs and a lot of the other ones I think are credited to Beck Hansen. Yeah.
Far out.
All right, cool. Good room. That reminds me of early on in Nirvana when they put out Bleach, they needed money to like record the album, so they invited this other guy Jason Steadman to join the band, and he paid for Bleach. Even though they're on a label, they still needed their own money to because fucking Sub Pop, whatever.
Yeah, because
so Sub Pop. He paid for it. And then he went on tour with them, but they all hated him. Like, he sucked. He wasn't a good guitar player. Or he was a good guitar player, but he was, like, a total metalhead. And so, like, when they would play, the sound guy who did Nirvana sound was just increasingly, like, turned down his guitar to the point where, like, by the end of the tour, you couldn't hear him at all. But he was still, like doing those chewing air, like, pained rock faces and stuff in the corner, which is just hilarious. And everybody's just like, what the hell is that guy even doing? And he eventually, I think, went on to be in Soundgarden for like a minute, too.
I'll say I know that name from somewhere.
Steadman. Yeah.
And not from Oprah.
not Statham. What the fuck?
Jason Statham? Jason Statham played guitar?
Maybe that's not his name. It's Jason something. No, it's Steadman. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. All right. Who's next? Rob.
Number 11, and it's my pick. And I hate this damn song, but my wife insisted, and it's fucking fitting.
I wish I was special. You're so fucking special.
Yeah, we get it. You know the song.
Yeah, it's a song. It was. I don't hate it. It's the funny thing about that song is I like the acoustic version of that song a lot better than the one that everyone has heard, because there's like the self-loathing I think really comes through on the recorded one. It just sounds like they're bored. Like, I'm a creep.
Yeah. Well, love that little guitar chug. chunk, that was like the only part of the song I liked.
which is funny because that was only in there because
Johnny hated the song.
Greenwood hated the song, and so he was just like, gug. And they're like, oh dude, leave that in. He was like, fuck, okay.
He was trying to sabotage it. He's like, this will fuck up this bullshit pussy song.
yeah this will show him I wasn't in Radiohead to do anything but play some hits and score some chicks. And
you picked now you're the singing wrong this whiny band. Song. You picked the wrong band, dude. This song doesn't open my wrist like the other ones.
Look, we named our band after a Talking Heads deep cut.
Yeah, right.
We expected creep things.
Creep actually, it fits the list very well.
Yeah, I know. It's perfect. I mean, the whole song.
Yeah.
The whole entire song.
And they hate it.
Yes, they do. They don't play it ever live. The funny, really funny story about that song, though, is that Prince covered it, right? And Prince played it at a show. And some band, somebody was at the show and filmed it and put it up on YouTube, and Prince's people took it down. And so then the person went to Radiohead and they're like, hey, I had this cover of Prince doing Creep, and Prince made me take it down. And Radiohead then sued Prince's people and said, hey, it's our song.
Put it
we
back.
Hate it, but you need to put it back up.
If you're going
to
do it,
you don't
do it.
The rights to that song. We have the rights to that song.
And we aren't going to play it, so somebody might as well play it. And if that somebody's going to be Prince, that's fine. Radiohead wasn't their original name. Hold on. This is just something driving me nuts. Original. It was like On a Monday or something.
Oh, God.
Was. God damn it. Never mind. I can't, you know.
You sound like my son when I'm like, what are you doing? He's like,
shut up, Dad. Leave me alone. You're square.
I know that their name.
I'm Doug, and I'm out of here.
Oh, On a Friday. It was called On a Friday.
That is a terrible name.
It's a good thing. Good thing we got that out. All right, James.
Okay, this one. again, as I stated, this was kind of a seat of the pants list. And given more time, I might have come up with more. But like, I crowdsourced a little bit with some friends, and a friend of mine threw this one at me, and it's by a rapper.
Logic.
Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure that the title of the song is a suicide hotline.
Okay.
And the video is brutal.
Okay.
In a kind of good way, I guess.
All right. Well, here's 1-800-273-8255 by Logic.
I've been on a low, I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind.
I know this song. I didn't know this was the name of it.
Who can relate? Woo! I've been on a low. I've been taking my time.
It's not a catchy title for a song.
I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feel like my life ain't mine.
But I appreciate that it's a title.
I don't want to be alive. I don't want to be alive. I just want to die today. I just want to die. I don't want to be alive. I don't want to be alive.
Okay, not to make fun of a song that I'm sure means a lot to people, but it also sounds like the kind of song that you would hear on the radio as like a joke in some like very like depressing part of a movie.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, maybe the radio will cheer me up, and then they turn the side. I don't want to be alive.
Well, damn it. I guess that's the solution then.
That would totally be it.
Yeah,
you know, like a Broken Lizard movie.
Yes, yeah, or I don't know. Simpsons,
but
all right, so what? Yeah, go ahead.
I will give absolute, like, if I'm assuming that is, I haven't dialed the number, but
well, let's do it right now. Let's see.
No,
what? I want to see what happens. Okay. Hold on. What's going to happen? They're going to send the paddy wagon to my house? station what? Panel van?
One moment.
Are you?
You have reached the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline.
Yep.
Also servicing the Veterans Crisis.
And we're going to put you on hold.
If you are in emotional distress or...
Okay, well, that's it.
Wow.
So,
God damn it, my headphones fell off. Hold on.
I mean, credit where credit's due, like, to title a song a phone number for that.
Yeah, but I just realized, you know, the problem with it is then a lot of people are like, I wonder if that does call the suicide hotline, and have probably been calling the number and jamming it up for genuinely need it.
Much like yourself.
No, I've never been suicidal.
No, you...
God. Your mom's suicidal. Ooh.
Actually, my mom is like the whatever the opposite of suicidal is. That is my mom. It's more like okay. She likes life a little too much.
Genocidal?
All right.
What? What?
Is your mom genocidal?
Genocidal.
I want the genocide hotline now. I want that to be a number. Thank you for calling the genocide hotline. If you would like to extinguish a religious sect, people based on their ethnicity, or just anybody who's crossed you today, please press 1.
Hey, buddy. That's probably not the way to go.
Well, yeah, but they got it coming, okay?
Hey,
let me tell you something about these people.
Nobody's what? Saying they don't.
What?
Let it
Nobody's
lie.
Saying they don't.
Let it lie.
Oh, okay.
Just let it lie.
All right. Well, then you guys are on board.
Okay.
Making some anthrax in my basement.
All right. Here we go.
Hey, I like anthrax.
Next one.
13.
That is number 12. And here is number 13. It is Rod said earlier, Rivers Cuomo is great at self-loathing. And here's, I think, a song that sums it up the best. Stop bitching. I shouldn't complain. I should have a feeling. This feeling is pain. Something I need. Just deny me. Everything I want. Just take it away from me. But who do I got to blame? Nobody but me, and I don't wanna be an old man anymore. It's been a year or two since I was out on the floor. Chicken booty making sweet love all the night. It's time I got back to the good life. It's time I got back. There you go, the good life. By Weezer. I mean, I guess it's a hopeful message, but it's mostly like, hey, I really suck and I want to stop sucking.
Yeah.
Good life. It goes on there. It's number 13, everybody. 13.
All right. Weezer. So go ahead.
Lucky number 13.
I'm still just amazed, having gone through that period and being in high school when Weezer was really popular, and I think me and James and our friend Chris, mostly by extension, really love Pinkerton, and we're like, this is an amazing album, and everyone else was like, yeah, but there's like, he's not singing about like Buddy Holly. I don't know what the problem was. I still don't know what the problem was. And people like now are like, oh my god, that's their best album. Is he? And I was like, I've been saying that for the whole
He's not singing about being a nerd who can't get laid. He's talking about being a rock star who can get laid. Fuck yeah, that.
And all right. He's been talking about having sex too much.
People,
like, that was the first song on the album.
People don't get to change their life.
People don't get to still have problems despite the fact that they're rich and successful and famous. Has anybody ever been rich and unsuccessful?
Donald Trump?
Oh, the president. All right. All right. Number 14, Rod.
I'm going to put a, I don't give a shit. I'm putting a second Soundgarden song.
I love that line. It's one of my favorite lines is looking California, but feeling Minnesota.
Yeah. Well, and then later he says,
it really does perfectly describe Chris Cornell too.
I'm feeling that I'm sober, even though I'm drinking, can't get any lower. Mm-hmm. Still, I feel I'm sinking.
Oh,
I love the whole song's great.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, yeah. Outshine.
Outshine.
No, so it's not Metallica.
Bad Motorfinger, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. I know. I could see Metallica covering that, though.
Outshine.
I was just making...
I mean, Lars Ulrich isn't nearly as good a drummer as Matt Cameron.
I was just making fun of Metallica. We were driving down the road and listening to Pandora, and I don't even remember what... I think it was Fade to Black or what, or some old Metallica song. And I was giggling about the fact that, yeah, listen, at the end of every note, it goes up. and it really doesn't, but it does, you know? Yeah. I will die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That was 14. So we got 15. That's James's.
I'm gonna try to get Elliot Smith on here because Elliot Smith hated himself a lot.
Yeah.
Indeed, yeah. He did.
Theoretically enough to stab himself in the heart to death.
It's not a theory.
No, he did that.
I mean, I know some people... No. His girlfriend stabbed him in the heart. Because you wouldn't listen to Elliot... It's the same thing with Kurt Cobain. You wouldn't listen to his music and think that this guy has problems at all.
No.
Elliot Smith was literally addicted to crack and heroin at the same time.
That doesn't even make sense.
I know! I didn't think it was possible!
I'm going to get up and go down. I'm going to get up and go down. It's like taking Pepto and X-Lax at the same time and waiting to see who wins.
My dad did try to convince me that Helter Skelter was about that. Like, you take a bunch of cocaine and then you do a bunch of heroin.
No, it's not.
And
then you
go back up and it's a cycle. And I was like, Dad, this is a Wendy's. I was like, Dad, I'm like 10, okay? Like,
I don't know why. Johnny, you need to listen to me here, because I'm going to tell you something about Paul McCartney, because he was a goddamn lunatic, drug addict, son of a bitch.
Like, every song, like, you give my dad any song, and he would be able to find a way to make it about drugs. Like, no matter what, give me any song. I'll figure out, I'll play my dad's game. Give me a song.
Creep by Radiohead.
Creep? Well, that's, boy, you know what that's about, obviously. It's about that creeping feeling in your skin when you haven't had enough of that sweet, sweet black tar. Like, you didn't even need to hear the song. You just hear the title. Be like, that's obviously about heroin.
Run around, Sue.
Lost in my brains.
Run around, Sue.
Run around too. Obviously, he's referring to whoever he was trying to score some sweet, sweet black tar heroin from. She couldn't find her, so he was trying to track her down. She's running around all over the place. That's Sue. Her sweet black tar ass. I often wondered if I know he did have drug problems in his past. He told me, but he never like got explicit about it. Really made me feel like he did some really heavy drugs.
Yeah,
because like every song was like it, but like it's at that point where it's not even like he's like, I think I'm worried that you're going to like drugs because of the song. It's more like, I want drugs so much that I can't. It's like you know, you're so hungry. It's like you're in a Looney Tunes boat and you're starving.
Everybody looks like a hamburger and a hot dog.
And he turns into a ham, right? That was my dad, but with heroin.
Well, because he totally lost his shit when I loaned you Trainspotting, the book, right?
Yes, was losing his mind. Because of Trainspotting. I was like, wait, he once accused me of shooting heroin because I was taking a nap at noon.
That's nap time.
I was like, I was 12.
He wasn't pissed that you were taking heroin. He was pissed that you were hogging all the heroin.
You're not sharing.
You're going to bogart that needle, boy?
You know, you're right. Maybe it's just his general tone belied the fact that he was just asking me if I had any.
Can you get some?
So like, anyway, this song is called 2:45 AM by Elliot Smith. It's off Either Or, which is a very good record.
It's my favorite record by him. Here you go.
And the pretty thing you made deserts you. I'm going out like a baby, a naive, unsatisfiable baby, grabbing onto whatever's around, for the soaring eye of the crushing down, with hidden cracks that don't show, but constantly just grow. Looking for.
All right, 2:45 a.m.
I'm gonna have to spend the rest of my day watching Looney Tunes just to get over this fucking
list. Just make up for that, yeah. that is, by the way, Either Or is my favorite album by Elliott Smith, but I will say that the probably like the saddest, or not saddest, but like most rundown I felt in my life was when I was working at the railroad and I just had that album, the CD in my car, and I would listen to it going to work and going home from work.
Why would you? And I've always wondered
like, was it, like, was that contributing to it at a point?
Well, it wasn't helping.
Yeah.
I promise you, it was not helping.
So, all right. So my first experience with Elliott Smith was the Royal Tenenbaums.
When he took you out on your first date. Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. I forgot you guys didn't date.
All right.
Royal Tenenbaums. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Needle in the hay
when Richie's going to kill himself, mm-hmm. which is an apt song,
right? Or any song by Elliott
Smith, funnily enough. Really? So I bought Elliott Smith, which that's on, and then the second bought was Figure Eight, and I love Figure Eight. Figure Eight's great, and it's
Figure Eight's like as poppy as he gets. Yeah. Though. It's like it's downright upbeat.
Yeah, it is Elliott Smith leaning hard into his Beatles love.
Yeah.
And at the time, American Beauty came out, and you have the Because at in the end credits, that's Because, Elliott Smith singing his own harmonies.
Right.
And who dropped drumsticks?
Yeah.
Wouldn't me?
I did. I dropped a drumstick.
Okay.
Like several drumsticks.
No, I dropped one.
Just one?
One, and then I picked it up.
Okay.
Anyway, Elliott Smith is great. He's in movies.
Very confused. My head hurts.
We're the best. Guys, can we just agree that we're the best?
We're easily. There's many competitors, especially these days, with the ease of recording, but we are the best. Anyway, so that leaves, we are with one more to go, number 16, but it is fucking hot as hell in here, so I'm going to take a break, and when we get back, we'll have my last pick and the last pick for the list of best self-deprecating songs.
And votes.
Coming up. And then we'll vote on which one is the best of these 16. That's just in a few minutes here on this podcast. Boop. We're back. You don't know why I'm laughing right now, and you never will unless I screw up and edit at the wrong point, which there's a 50-50 chance I will.
Pretty good possibility
that I will. Doing the best self-deprecating songs of all time. We have 15 so far. Here's what we have. Fire, Water, Burn. I Suck by Rivers Cuomo. How Many Friends by The Who. Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana. Drawing Flies by Soundgarden. Any Other Day by The Police. Hurt by Nine Inch Nails. Self-Esteem by The Offspring. A State of Mind by Sebado. Loser by Beck. Creep by Radiohead. 1-800-273-8255, which we proved was a suicide hotline. By Logic, The Good Life by Weezer, Outshine by Soundgarden, 2:45 by Elliott Smith, and I'm going to end with this one because I love this chick. It's a great song. Which has now been reappropriated as the, I think, Monday Night Football.
Yeah, waiting all week.
What?
For a Sunday night. Sunday night. It's waiting all week for a Sunday night. Yeah, it's Carrie Underwood.
Oh, my God. And
Joan Jett eventually coming in at the end singing it. And yeah, when I first saw it, I was like, why does this song sound so familiar? Because I know none of the songs are original, and they're always like a cover or whatever, something else, like All My Rowdy Friends or whatever. But I was not happy, even though I, being a Chiefs fan, love Sunday Night Football because, you know, the Chiefs are usually going to win. I'm in a good mood, even though it ruins my Monday because I have to get up at 3 a.m. Point is, I was kind of angry. I remember sitting up and be like, that's fine. I hate myself for loving you. Joan Jett better not be. Oh, there's Joan Jett. Never mind. She's right there at the end. So I guess she's fine with it. I didn't know this. She had I Love Rock and Roll was a number one song in the 80s for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I didn't know it was number one on the charts. I always thought Joan Jett was a little bit like, I don't know, not that she wasn't mainstream or anything, but I thought that she was kind of more low key than that. I don't know if she'd ever had a number one.
Oh yeah, that song was huge when it came out.
Yeah,
that whole record was huge. I was and still am.
I Love Rock and Roll.
Big fan.
I lied. It was 7 weeks. 7 weeks at number one, tied with Billie Jean.
Wow. Yeah.
And also Ebony and Ivory, but let's not talk about that.
Yeah, let's not.
Living actually, in perfect
you know
harmony.
What the number, you know what the number one, like longest number one charting song of the 80s was?
What?
At 10 weeks, ONJ Olivia Newton-John with Physical.
Is it really?
That was number one for 10 fucking weeks.
Good God.
Every Breath You Take only got 8. God, Jump got 5. 80s. When Doves Cry got 5.
The 80s were so bad.
Physical. 10 weeks. Well, I read a story that was interesting about that. Apparently, like when they implemented MediaBase, which was a way to track how often a song was actually getting played on the air, at the end of the 80s, it totally changed everything. Because like all of the songs that had been played were terrible. And then at the end of the 80s, people were like, actually, nobody's playing these songs that we're saying everybody is playing.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, that's when music got better for a little bit, as far as the radio is concerned. Like, for a little bit.
For a little bit.
All right, so it's time to vote on which one of these motherfuckers is the best.
Radio.
Wrong one. God damn it. See, it's good that we're doing self-deprecating, because I suck.
Mistakes are made.
All right. First round is Fire, Water, Burn by the Bloodhound Gang versus I Hate Myself for Loving You by Joan Jett. That sucks.
Okay.
Those are both my picks.
I Hate Myself for Loving You is a better song, but yeah. I think yeah. Fire, Water, Burn fits
Water Burn
the list
is
better.
A better burn. Yeah, I'm going to do that one too. I agree. Yeah, I Hate Myself for Loving You is more like you suck.
Yeah.
And I don't like how much you suck and how much I love suck. Hey, all right. How Many Friends by The Who versus Outshine by Soundgarden? I'm going to say Outshine.
I'm going to agree.
Fuck you guys.
Drawing Flies by Soundgarden versus the 1-800-273-8255 Logic.
Fuck you guys
song.
Again.
I'm going with Soundgarden.
Gonna go with Soundgarden again.
Sorry, James.
Okay, really? We have Hurt by Nine Inch Nails versus Loser by Beck. I don't think that these are... Whatever, okay.
Hurt,
Hurt by Nine Inch Nails versus Loser by Beck. I'm going to go with Loser. I mean, I'd rather listen to Loser than Hurt. Hurt's like... So it's not even self-deprecating. It's more like self-loathing, and that's not really...
Yes, Loser, I think, fits the list better.
All right. State of Mind by Sebado versus Self Esteem by The Offspring.
Fuck you guys.
All right, so Self Esteem moves on. And here's another one. Creep by Radiohead versus On Any Other Day by The Police.
Fuck you guys. James.
I'm going to say Creep.
Creep moves.
I hate that song.
I don't even want to vote for it, but I want to keep this going. The Good Life by Weezer versus Smells Like Teen Spirit. I'm gonna have to go with Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Yeah, I gotta agree on that one.
James?
Doesn't matter.
Number 15 versus number 2, 2:45 a.m. by Elliott Smith versus I Suck by Rivers Cuomo. James? I'm going to go with 2:45 a.m. by Elliott Smith.
Well, then I agree with you for a change, John.
Actually, I take it back. I'm going with I Suck. No, I'm stick with it. Stick with it. Okay.
2:45 is a better song.
2:45 is a better song. Firewater Burn versus Outshined.
Outshined. Outshined.
Outshined.
Yeah, I'm going to say Outshined.
I'm going to stick with Firewater Burn just because I like Outshine better as a song, but I do think that Firewater Burn nails the landing on the list intent as far as self-deprecating, but democracy wins. Outshine moves on. Drawing Flies by Soundgarden versus Loser by Beck. I'm going to go with Loser.
James?
Does my vote count?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
This round.
Then I will inexplicably pick Beck.
What?
Beck it is.
That's crazy. That's not the James I know.
That's the fuck you guys corner you backed me into.
Self-Esteem by The Offspring versus Creep by Radiohead. I'm gonna go with Self-Esteem.
Creep.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Self-Esteem. Creep.
Okay.
Fuck you guys.
Creeps out. Fuck you guys.
Smells Like Teen Spirit versus 2:45 a.m. by
Fuck you guys.
Okay, I'm gonna go Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with that one.
Yeah. I mean, I'm worst at what I do best is a pretty goddamn great line. Outshined by Soundgarden versus Loser by Beck.
Outshined.
Outshined.
Yeah, I'll
agree. All right.
That's unanimous. Self-Esteem by The Offspring versus Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana.
I'm gonna say Self-Esteem.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Smells Like Teen Spirit.
I'm gonna sandbag for Soundgarden and say fucking Offspring. Fuck you guys.
What? You fucking asshole! You can't look Russian judge. You can't turn this into your personal grievance display.
Turns out I can.
You can't. We're just voting based on how we honestly feel.
Turns
about
out
this.
I can.
Oh my god!
Soundgarden. Fine. I vote for Soundgarden.
The final comes down to. Final comes down to Outshine by Soundgarden versus Self-Esteem by The Offspring for best self-deprecating
song. Both my
song.
Picks, by the way. I don't think that counts today, but...
Yeah. Apparently not.
Nothing counts today.
I'm gonna go ahead and say Soundgarden because, you know, I like Soundgarden.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with The Offspring because just fuck your games.
Okay, well I'm picking Soundgarden because I already said it. So look who wins now, John, big man.
You know. Yeah, Feeling Minnesota. All right, so that's it. Outshined wins for best self-deprecating song.
It is a good song.
What do you,
it's not a bad. It's not. Good, a, oh, it's a great not song. A bad.
Love that song. It's not bad. No, that's good. I can't imagine too many people being angry about that except for James.
What do you guys want to do next week for a list? Any ideas?
How about songs about shoes?
Songs about shoes?
I don't know. It was the first thing that came to my mind.
You were looking at your shoes, weren't you?
No.
You shoegazing son about, of a bitch. Listen to some fucking songs. Suede and get out of my car.
And my bloody Valentine.
Songs about shoes isn't actually a terrible. You have blue suede shoes, old brown shoe. Yeah.
These boots are made for walking. Yeah. Fuck it, we're doing
All right. Songs about shoe, about footwear.
We're going to try to come up with 16.
The low spark of boys and high-heeled boys in motion.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think there's lots of rap songs that, you know, mention shoes.
And there's My Adidas. And then you have What You Gonna Do in Those Shoes.
My boogie shoes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Knocking the boots.
This could actually be a good.
This is a fun list.
Hey. Fuck you with knocking boots. Don't make me go all PTSD. Your Luke Bryan shit.
No. That's like a way back R&B. Somebody rocking knocking boots.
Oh, okay. Because he had a big song last year called Knocking Boots that we played incessantly. Ugh. When I first started at the station, and I honestly, like, every morning I would come in and it would be on because my former program director.
You should know me better than to know that.
I thought you were just torturing me. No. I thought you were just torturing me, honestly.
I love you enough to torture you, but I am not that aware of modern country songs.
Yeah,
I don't have the awareness to torture you that way.
But I do love you enough to torture you. I promise you.
I know,
that.
That's why I thought maybe you would have put the effort in.
So is that what we're doing next week? Songs about footwear?
Songs about boots and footwear and shoes. Yeah, footwear in general. I love it.
All right, cool.
Not walk. It can't be about feet though.
No. It's got to be footwear.
That's a different. It's a different list, and it's a movie list.
Do socks
and it's
count?
All Quentin Tarantino
Do socks
movies.
Count?
Ooh.
I'll allow it.
Yeah, I think so.
Socks.
I think so.
That's footwear, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And is it just titles, or is it could it be like a lyric, like a sparse lyric here and there?
I think a lyric's fine.
Yeah, I think a lyric would work. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is the list.
I think if we go titles,
week.
I think we're backing ourselves
limited.
Into a corner that we might not
be able to clean out of.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. All right. Cool. Then we will do that next week. Until then, bye.